2-2 pitch. A swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hey, everybody. J.J. Cooper, Jeff Ponce, Josh Norris. We have another Baseball America Prospect Podcast because we are excited because the spring breakout games, the second year of it, are right around the corner. We're getting ready for a smorgasbord of prospect games day after day after day. They start on March 13th. They go through March 16th. We're all packing our bags, getting ready to attend some of these games. And great to see you guys. And I'm going to just start it off with the million-dollar question, which is, okay, I'm a fan. I'm bouncing around spring training, or even I'm staying at home watching on, you know, on TV. One game, Josh, out of these, and you said, okay, I'm only going to watch one. This is the game to watch. What one would it be?
Well, first of all, you didn't tell me $1 million was on the line. I would have thought harder on this. But the answer is the one I'm going to, Rays Red Sox on the 13th at Charlotte Sports Park. I think Jesus has our rankings up about of all 30 rosters, and I think these are two top five rosters. And that makes sense considering how loaded both systems are and how many of their top prospects are playing in these games. Like, you know, it's almost shameful to admit that I work at Baseball America and I've never seen Christian Campbell in the flesh. That's little understandable considering I live in North Carolina. There's not that many Red Sox games down here, but I went to see him once. He didn't play and got to see Luis Perales dominate instead. So that was pretty good. But I've never seen him. I haven't seen Roman Anthony since low A. I haven't seen Marcelo Mayer since low A. I've never seen the password. And there's plenty of other guys on this roster that I want to see. I mean, I saw Juan Valera last year and was really impressed, which was interesting because I was going to that game to see Trevor Harrison, but he got promoted that morning. And Juan Valera was a nice little surprise, which is my favorite kind of prospect. And then on the Rays side, I mean, their system has been buttressed to high heck with all sorts of new prospects through trades and the draft. And they've got stuff up and down the minor leagues, like guys I'm going to see here in Durham this year, guys who are going to be in Charleston and Bowling Green, new dudes from trades. If you want power, it's there. If you want speed, it's there. If you want interesting pitchers, it's there. So their contest should be really interesting. And really a fun matchup that you might preview a lot of AL East matchups for years to come.
Okay, yeah. Same question.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I think that was a great answer by Josh. I'll be at that game as well. But I'm going to throw a bone to our West Coast listeners and those that might be out in Arizona. And I'm going to say it's the last game of the spring breakout series. The first game is actually the Red Sox and the Rays. The last game is the Reds and the Brewers. I think the from a lineup perspective, from a roster perspective, yeah, I think the Rays and the Red Sox are potentially a better matchup. But what I'm kind of honed in on is, you know, teenaged Jesus Mate, who has not played a game stateside yet, at least an official game stateside yet, versus Chase Burns, who, you know, we actually got to see make his professional debut on Wednesday. Struck out three batters, you know, was sitting like 99 miles per hour with a ton of ride and cut. He's got, you know, a nasty slider as well. It's a double plus pitch, you know, sits high 80s to low 90s with like, you know, a left turn as well. So I think that matchup for me kind of definitely would be sort of must watch. It might be the best potential matchup just from an interest standpoint that we see throughout the spring breakout series this year. So I think that's the game I'm going to go with. Outside of that, you know, you do have Cooper Pratt, you got Jacob Mizorowski, Eric Bentante, Braylon Payne, you know, Brett Wichorowski is obviously got big stuff and he's pretty interesting as well. And then on the Cincinnati side, you got Cam Collier, you got Chase Petty, who can light up the radar gun. Some young, interesting, toolsy prospects like Sammy Stafora and Tyson Lewis and Alfredo Duno, who is a big bat as well. And even from like a stuff perspective, some of the pitchers a little bit further down their roster, guys like Zach Maxwell, Louis May, Connor Phillips, all guys with huge stuff. So I just think from like one inning stints, you're not asking any of those guys to do too much in the Reds pitching staff. And
yeah, right there.
You might have 100 like 15 times, and they could have maybe like three or four guys that could do it.
I think you're selling it way short with 15 times. I think you're, I mean, I'm not kidding.
You're right.
If you give those guys one inning stints, here's the guys who can hit 100. Zach Maxwell, Luis May, Jacob Mizorowski, Chase Burns.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if you get 30 hundreds out of there.
Yeah. You might be right.
That's one that I'm planning to be at. So I'm looking forward to, so you all will both be at the kickoff of this, and what you were think I would agree is probably the best as far as just total everywhere you look is a prospect that you need to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And I'll be at the nightcap of the spring breakouts, which I would say, I agree with you, Jeff, like Luis Peña also, I believe on that roster.
So yeah.
Like multiple kind of first glimpses at guys. To kind of take a little bit of a, you know, like a quick kind of 50,000 foot view of this, we are going to go through the schedule. Like here are the games that we've got. We start with Thursday, March 13th, 7-5 Eastern, Red Sox Rays. We already covered that one. Not bad as a follow-up to that. Also on Thursday, Cubs at Dodgers. Now, that I would say that there are some guys who we're not getting Roky Sasaki, you know, the number one prospect in baseball. He will not be on that roster. But that's a pretty good game as well there, you know, Jeff. Like that kind of does jump out as far as there's going to be a lot of interesting guys to watch in that game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I did the best matchups article and I went through every single game and picked, you know, a potential matchup that I find to be most intriguing. And I think Jackson Ferris going against, you know, his old organization that drafted him and then traded him away in the Cubs and potentially facing, it was for a very short period of time in low A, but his former catcher in Moises Ballesteros, I think could just be a very interesting matchup in that game. But I think you look throughout the rosters and some of the big Cubs names aren't there, but you do have like Cade Horton. You know, you have James Triantos, who's interesting. Some of the kids like Angel Cepeda, who I think is a lot of upside. And then on the other side, you know, you got Zaire Hope, you got Josue DePaula and numerous players. So I think that's also a pretty good matchup, of course.
The fun thing about that Dodgers roster is that of the guys we ranked in the 30, only one of them, Ferris, has any experience above A-ball. So there's no Sasaki, who technically doesn't have any experience above A-ball either. No Alex Freeland, no Dalton Rushing. And other than that, it's a bunch of guys from low A, the DSL, and the FCL, which, you know, light my fire. But I just thought it was an interesting little note that I didn't even realize was about was like a subplot of the Dodgers system. But yeah, that game should be really fun. You get the outfield triumvirate of Hope and DePaula and Eduardo Quintero.
Yeah.
For my money, the last one could be the best of the bunch.
I mean, Kendall George in that game too, yeah. Mike Sirota. They have a lot of guys that can go out and get it too. Like that's probably one of the fastest, if not the fastest team.
Right. You know,
among the spring breakout rosters.
If you take Kendall George and Kellen Lindsay and say beat the freeze, the freeze is going to have to retire.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong.
So that's our two Thursday games. Friday starts off with Cardinals at Marlins, 12:10 Eastern, which, by the way, you know, big travel day there. You know, they have to meet in the middle because they share a facility. Josh, this is one. You've been like a very, very, very pro fish lately for someone who's who loves the animals. But the Marlins system really does intrigue you in a lot of ways, does it not? Like, how interested are you in this game?
Yeah, I mean, for a guy named Bear to be pro fish seems sacrilege, but here we are. Thomas White, it's harder to be higher on a guy than I am, and well, I am higher on one guy than others, but. If you told me that if things broke right, this is the number one pitching prospect in the game next year, I wouldn't be surprised. At the very least, I think he's going to be number two, depending on who gets drafted and where and who graduates and all that stuff. But he's got stuff. He's got strikes. He's got It sounds like the stuff has taken a jump. He's a left-hander, and he absolutely annihilated at this event last year. And all year long, I heard really great things about him and some very lofty comparisons. So if I were to really go crazy and drive from that Fort Myers game to the east side of Florida, I would do it solely to see that young man pitch. But there's other guys on this roster. And you know, Starlin Cava, I ranked him number one in the Florida State League. In the Florida Complex League, because he is a witch at shortstop. You know, I mean, I put an 80 on it, and I don't think I'm being too generous. There's an open question on what kind of impact he'll have, but the impact in the field is going to be, you could put him there right now, and I think he wouldn't embarrass himself, and if in 2 years, he'd be the best of shortstop in baseball, or at least defensively. Noble Meyer's a rebound candidate. They've got two of the, I want to say it's seven catchers in the minor leagues who hit more than 20 home runs last year, in Augustin Ramirez and Joe Mack. And Joe Mack did some things last year that we really should be talking about him a lot more. Catchers under 21 who hit 20 home runs in a season are few and far between, and their names are pretty well known throughout households. I love Andres Valor. He's got the look of an athletic center fielder who can, you know, get on base and cause havoc. Davison De Los Santos, I think he'll get to the big leagues in some form or fashion. Dax Fulton, a great rebound candidate. Jared Serna with the Yankees system was a pretty pure hitter, and I expect him to be so going forward. Kaner Benitez is another upsidey guy in their system. PJ Morlando, Andrew Salas, we're going to get a first look at him. And when we say first look on this podcast, we've seen some of these guys. Like if I say first look on Trey Yesevich, you've seen him a lot at ECU. This is a first look for anybody who has not either been in Jupiter right now or the Dominican Republic or is named Salas. You know, this is going to be a true one. The guy signed less than 2 months ago.
Let me just interject. There are a lot of Salases, you know, like in pro baseball, though, who
right.
have got
Yeah, because that is yeah, Jose, his,
that was
his
a very brother, prolific family for baseball players.
Right. Jose, his brother, was a Marlin and now is a twin. Ethan Salas, you might be familiar with him if you're listening to this podcast. He's going to be, you know, he was one of our highest international prospects. And just to continue my run on the Marlins, there's some guys not even on this roster I'm excited to see at some point this year, but we'll talk about them later. Jeff, you want to talk about the Cardinals?
No, I was going to. We covered this one. We're moving on next to the Pirates and Phillies. I'm hosting, man. You know, so Pirates and Phillies, looking at this one, also, you know, sitting there at a 1 o'clock start, we're not getting Painter versus Bubba, which would have been, I would say, the best pitching matchup we could have had, you know, in the breakout series. Painter will be there, but not pitching. But Bubba is pitching. Which right there is worth the cost of admission, I would say, Jeff.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's 2 years in a row where one of the premier arms is going for the Pirates. Now, this roster isn't as loaded as it was last year where you had Bubba. You also had, you know, Thomas Harrington, you know, who ranks pretty highly. And, you know, of course, Paul Skeens, who was, you know, sort of for me at least, the high point of sort of the games that I saw last year in the spring breakout event.
Let me interject real quick there. Take us through that, because you were there for that. That's the moment to me from last year's spring breakout. If you wanted to say, how awesome could this be? Paul Skeens on that mound was that, and you were sitting behind him.
Yeah. I think, you know, just came out first inning, you know, was super exciting. Of course, struck out Jackson Holliday, who was the number one prospect in baseball at that time. Who doesn't strike out all that much at that point. And, you know, I think kind of set the tone for the year that was to come. Now, I don't anticipate Bubba doing the same thing, but I do think that, you know, he could come out, you know, in the first inning, if he is the starter in this game, I would presume that he probably is, you know, hit the upper registers. I don't know if he's going to hit 100, but, you know, throw some actual, you know, death balls with crazy ride and, you know, upper 90s velocity, you know, mixing in a couple of different secondaries. But, you know, he rides that fastball heavy, especially early. And, you know, there are a decent amount of good contact hitters probably at the top of this lineup, and Aiden Miller and Justin Crawford for the Phillies. Overall, it's a pretty interesting lineup. You know, Eduardo Tait and Dante Norrie, Griffin Burkholder, a couple of young high school prospects from the 2024 draft class, Devin Saltabon, who can hit a little bit, et cetera, et cetera. I think the pitcher I'm most excited to see outside of Chandler in this game is Moises Chassé, who they had acquired last year from the Orioles. Really good pitch metrics. The performance was good. I haven't seen him yet, so I'm pretty excited to potentially catch this game as well.
There really aren't duds. We're going through these game by game, and pretty much all of these games, there's a lot of coverage over at baseballamerica.com to get you prepped for all of these, but all of these games have some very interesting things to kind of dive into. Nationals-Astros, 2:05 on Friday. Josh, looking at that, the thing that jumps out, we're not going to have Dylan Cruz. Dylan Cruz is you know, is basically a big leaguer at this point. But that's fine. We've got Harlan Susanna. We've got Travis Sikora. And then on the Astros side, you know, this is one of those, we've already gotten a chance to see a little bit of what Cam Smith can do with his new club. But that's, to me, the part of this that jumps out. But, like, what stands out to you about these rosters?
If I were to go to this game, I'd be really excited to see Harlan Susanna. I've seen him before. We've ranked him a bunch at BA. I ranked him number one prospect in the Arizona Complex League a couple of years ago. One of the more interesting moments of my career would be leaving the Peoria Complex or getting ready to, and then seeing about 20 radar guns go up at a sim game, and someone say, you should stick around and see this. And they were right. I should stick around and see that. I had no idea who it was, but he was throwing 100 with a banger slider, and that worked out real well. And I saw him last year in a kind of a pivotal moment for him that I'll explain at some point later. But I'm also really excited in Alex Clemmie. I was doing some research on him last night, which was weird because I was doing Juan Valera research at the time, but it spiraled into Alex Clemmie research. And 18-year-olds who strike out 100 guys in a season are few and far between. And I looked it up while I was muted. Some of the other names to do that are guys like Yuri Perez, Simeon Woods Richardson, Tristan McKenzie, Taiwan Walker, Madison Bumgarner. Pretty good names right there. He struck out 123, which puts him in the middle of that pack, not near Bumgarner's 160. But, you know, he's got some stuff to work out as far as control and command, but when the stuff itself is wicked. He was the first guy I saw all year last year when the minor league season opened. And I think I texted Carlos and said, I think this is a number two starter. And maybe I'm wrong, or maybe he's a closer, but the stuff is there to have a really, really high ceiling. I'd be really excited to see what he can do in this game. There's some other interesting guys on their side. Seaver King was a high pick last year out of Wake Forest. He should be interesting to watch. On the Astros side, I still think Miguel Ulloa has a chance with his fastball, though he's got to do a lot more. Anderson Brito was a guy who carved up the DSL last year and then jumped to low A and was pretty good. Luis Baez ranked highly on the FCL list a few years ago. And, you know, Cam Smith is Cam Smith. He might move very quickly. So, yeah, those would be the guys I'd look for in this game. Oh, and one more, Alex Santos II. I know that's a name from a while ago at this point, but he kind of caught my eye in the fall league as a guy who could really get there as a reliever. Big fastball, snapper slider. That was pretty interesting for me.
So we're still on Friday. We also have A's at Padres on the West Coast in Arizona, 5:40 Eastern. I think that's going to be 2:40 Phoenix time at that point because we're, I think, post time change, and so daylight savings time and all. And Jeff, if we had said this 2 years ago and said A's are going to play Padres in the spring breakout series, and the A's are undoubtedly going to have the deeper farm system for this game, I think that might have been a surprise. But I think at this point, that's not a real controversial statement, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think you obviously would prefer the top of the Padres list right now still, with Leo DeVries and Ethan Salas up top. But I think when you go down the roster, there is not a lot of depth in the Padres farm system. Kind of outside of those highlights there, Boston Bateman, a couple other names. I think if you're going to this game, you're probably more focused on what's on the Athletic side of the ball. And Nick Kurtz, Colby Thomas, Denzel Clark, Max Muncy, Henry Balti, Tommy White. Really interesting, you know, offense that they're able to sort of put out there. Kurtz obviously being the big star, but I think all those guys are capable of, you know, either hitting a big home run, big hit, showing some speed, some defense in the field. Guys like Colby Thomas obviously can do that. It's a really athletic group. You know, catcher, you have Daniel Susak, who's been up and down, but, you know, has had his moments. And I even think, like, on the pitching side, they don't have a ton of really, like, well-established professionals at this point. But a lot of guys with upside and good stuff, like Luis Morales, you know, Steven Echeverria, Gage Jump, Gunnar Hoglund has looked better this spring if you've been watching any of the major league games. So I think when you look at, like, that total team, it's more interesting. But in terms of, like, the best guys you're going to be looking out for outside of Kurtz, I think it's obviously DeVries, Salas, some young pitchers on the other side, guys like Cash Mayfield. I mentioned Boston Bateman, Cobb Hightower, who I know Peter Flaherty, who did our Padres list, loves Cobb Hightower. So I think that will be an interesting watch as well. But just further down the roster, it gets real uninteresting real quick. The Padres is probably the best way to put it. And a lot of players that are going to participate in this game that are just sort of org guys.
I'll say this for that matchup. Just I would be very excited to see the Padres group. I'm very, very high on what they did with Mayfield and Bateman. They will. I mean, I obviously will not see this game. I'll be in Florida. But once I bounce to Arizona, those guys will be very, very high on my target list of guys to go film and watch. And, you know, I don't doubt the Padres at this point. When they take guys who are a little off the beaten path and have high upside, because upside is the name of the game, baby, and they know how to do it.
We're still on Friday. Also on Friday, and I would say that if you could make an argument that this, we didn't mention this, but if you said, you know, you can only watch one game, you also wouldn't go too wrong, too far astray if you said you were going to watch Mariners at Guardians, 8:05 Eastern, 5:05 Phoenix time on Friday, because the Mariners, for one, the Mariners have 6 top 100 prospects on the roster for this game, which is tied for the most. But then on top of it, the Guardians, these are two of the best farm systems in baseball. So to kind of go off of what Jeff just said, if there's some kind of org guys in that game, this is the game where you're going to have a lot of kind of, even this guy where they says, oh, he's the 15th best prospect in the system. That's still a good prospect, especially in that Guardian system, which is really deep. Josh, what jumps out about this game for you?
In my opinion, there's a lot of good prospects in this game. That's the analysis you come for baseball.
Thank you.
Power, speed, interesting arms. You got it all. I wrote an article about first pro looks. I'm not going to call them debuts because they're not going to count in any BREF page, but of the guys who are on this roster, who I'd be most interested to see, who I haven't seen already, Ryan Sloan is going to be high up there. Like I mentioned the Mariners are kind of like an arm farm. I believe their former pitching coach runs a group called the Arm Farm.
Arm Barn.
No, I think it is farm, but either way. In any case, yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff to work with. Got a prototypical pitcher's frame. He's going to have the right teachers, and that's going to be interesting. Gerangelo Sinche. I've seen a switch pitcher in my lifetime. I dealt with Pat Venditti for however many years in Trenton, and that was a fun experience. But I'd love to see it again. That will be highlighted on the broadcast, I am sure. Logan Evans was last year's spring training darling. Brandon Garcia, a left-hander, was kind of guy you heard whispers last year, like, don't sleep on this guy. And I don't think we are. Jeter Martinez, you've known of my love of him for a while. There's still some stuff to work out, but he's pretty impressive. And on the Guardian side, it's interesting because like the Guardians are pretty interesting, despite not, and I don't want correctly, not bringing any of their first look guys from their super high school draft class this past year on this roster. But we'll have to settle for Travis Bazana, the number one overall pick. Jason Chorio, younger brother of a certain big league superstar who might be a big league superstar in his own right someday. Angel Hanau, who like Harlan Susanna, we've been talking about for 2 or 3 years now. Thank you, dedicated scouts in the Arizona Complex League who wouldn't shut up about him. Welvin Francisco opened his career with a five-hit game in the DSL and really didn't stop hitting after that. Cooper Engel and CJ Kafis kind of jumped up, and then they made some trades for guys like Michael Kennedy and Josh Hartle. And, you know, you can't really go wrong if you trade for a guy that the Pirates already liked. So those are two guys who were imported from the Pirates system. I got a soft spot for their catcher, Jacob Cozart, who I saw at NC State and then at the college national team, and was like, that's kind of what it looks like, folks. So Guardians did too. So, you know, two Elvis fans can't be wrong.
In the last game, Jeff, on Friday, Royals at Diamondbacks, 8:10 Eastern, 5:10 Phoenix. There's going to be some power in this game because we're going to have that's kind of one of the calling cards here. But I would say not the most prospect-loaded game we're going to have here. But again, some names to watch and definitely some players to take to keep an eye on here.
Yeah, I think, you know, the big selling point of this game is Jack Caglione. Certainly there's some other bats, you know, Carter Jensen, Blake Mitchell's listed, who I know had just had surgery too. So I was surprised to see that.
Yeah. He's not going to play.
Yeah. I assume he's not going to play, right? He's listed on the active roster though. So, didn't mention that one, but some interesting arms. You're going to get, you know, I think it's our first look at David Shields. I saw him in the backfields when I was out there in Arizona for the AFL back in October. You know, some other interesting arms like Noah Cameron, Steve Zoback, Blake Walters, of course, has big stuff. Roman Ramirez is, you know, an interesting bat. And then, you know, on the other side with the Diamondbacks, I think, you know, the big one for me here is Chris Dantes. Slade Caldwell's also being going to be in that game as well. It's, I think it's another first look. He's an interesting player. Ryan Waldschmidt, sort of a personal cheese ball of mine from last year's draft. And then some other guys like JD Dix, Yasiel Soler, Jansel Luis. Be interesting to see those guys. And then a bunch of bounce back candidates and guys like Drew Jones and Tommy Troy, who haven't had the most successful beginnings to their professional careers. So not the most loaded rosters here. But some interesting ones. I think one sort of sleeper name to kind of hone in on is Daniel Egan from the Diamondbacks, right-handed pitcher that they drafted last year, that just kind of digging in some of the metrics and stuff like that, I thought might have some upside. So, you know, he could be a fun one to maybe see come in and do well. But overall, this is not the most loaded game.
Ton of names already, but we still got 8 games to go. We'll keep looking through these rosters right after this quick break.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
And we're back. So we've just gotten to Saturday. Saturday starts off Twins at Blue Jays, 107 Eastern. And Jeff, I'm going right back to you because I feel like it would be wrong not to say, after we just saw a pretty impressive game by a certain top cheese ball prospect of yours. So what are you looking forward to in that Twins Blue Jays game?
Yeah, I think Trey Savage is probably the one that I'm most interested to see among the two rosters in this game. We just haven't seen him before. I'm not going to see him obviously pitch on the backfields prior to that, where I will have a couple days. I'll be roaming around the Clearwater, Dunedin area. I think I don't know if I'm going to be going to that game because it's kind of far away from where I'm going to be staying at that point. So I might miss it and have to catch Savage later on in the spring. But I think that's the big one, especially for Blue Jays fans. Dropped a little bit in the draft based on what the rankings were going in. There was some medical stuff that some teams had brought up to us, but I don't think you can doubt the performance. You know, he's performed big in big moments, and you know, consistently was really good at ECU. It's a good fastball shape. He's got feel for a bunch of different secondaries. So I think that's really interesting. Blue Jays roster is kind of a little bit sneaky. I think I've been saying that for a year. But Namala obviously had a home run in a major league game yesterday, as did Alan Rodon. Those couple of guys together in the same lineup, or Elvis Martinez, who's got huge power. And at this point, still pretty young, though it feels like he's been around forever. Cal Steven, another guy that the Blue Jays took last year that has some upside. Johnny King, another pitcher they took out of the high school ranks that has some upside that I think could be interesting. The pitching isn't bad in this game, especially when you consider, how sort of, or at least on the Blue Jays side, at least how sort of beat up this system is. On the Twins side, the big one here, it's disappointing that Walker Jenkins isn't playing in this game. But we do get Luke Kuechel, we do get Kalen Culpepper, get Brandon Winokur, Kyle DeBarge, Billy Amick, Eduardo Beltre, who's a kind of a pop-up on RoboScout and based on the data last year, in the complex leagues. And I think, from a hitting perspective, the lineup is okay. You're just missing, their two biggest bats, obviously, in Jenkins and also Emmanuel Rodriguez. But with the Twins and those prospects' checkered injury history, I guess I can see why they might be sitting them for this game. But overall, I think, this is probably one of the weaker games when we look at the two rosters. But I think just like we've talked about, there's some good matchups. There's some definite upside prospects and some guys who are going to be major leaguers in very short time.
Excuse me, that's number 17 DSL prospect Eduardo Beltre. You put some respect on that man's name. And if I were to make one quick comment about that game, it's just Arjun Namala. That guy is going to be a star. I'll put it out there right now.
So then we go to Yankees at Orioles, 6:05. So under the lights for at least part of that game, probably. 6:05 Eastern. So this game, some of the big names are in big league camp. No Kobe Mayo, no Jason Dominguez. But we do have Samuel Basayo and Josh. We do have, I would say, a guy who's already – we were getting a lot of very positive feedback in the offseason. We're seeing it now in spring training as well. George Lombard Jr. already showing some things in big league games. Now we're going to get to see him in the breakout game.
Yeah, he's absolutely lighting it up. I was really struggling with this Yankees top 10. 30 last year. I knew Dominguez was going to be at number one, but Lombard didn't put up the biggest season numbers wise last year. But scouts came back and said this is probably the number two prospect in the org. And I was like, all right, I'll take your word, because they said he didn't perform really well, but I really like him. And I think that's called scouting, which is pretty key to what we do here. And He's done some pretty good things so far. He's gotten a hit off Zach Wheeler, which if he does nothing for the rest of his life, that's pretty special moment. I think he's going to do a little more the rest of his life, but it's a pretty pure hitter who can play on the left side of the infield, and he's got some power in there. He's got a baseball background. Fun fact, his dad sent me his autograph when I was about 12 years old, so that's how old I am. The rest of that group is kind of interesting too. We're going to get a lot of first looks here, or potentially. They only used three pitchers in their game last year. They went multiple innings with every guy. Ben Hess, Bryce Cunningham, Gage Zeal, and Grayson Carter are all guys who they drafted last year in their super pitcher heavy draft who did not debut. And we'll get a chance to potentially see them against the Orioles. And then on Baltimore's side, you mentioned Samuel Basayo, who's, I think, the top catching prospect in the game. And Enrique Bradfield Jr., who can absolutely fly. Keeler Morphe, who's a really small guy with a really big arm. Nestor Herman is a guy that Jeff has really been interested in. And is, the Orioles pitching development program can't be wrong. So let's think he's going to have a pretty high future too. Creed Willems has a small piece of my heart, and I think I'm going against the industry on that one. His reviews are mixed in the industry. Left-handers is an issue. Whether he can catch is an issue, but he can put a charge into a baseball. That much is for sure. And I also might be at this game.
I'm going to stay with you, Josh, because the next one is two teams that you do for the handbook. Rangers at Giants, 8:05 Eastern on Saturday. We're not going to get some of the arms here. The arms are in big league camp for the Rangers. Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, guys like that.
Well, we're going to get two futures gamers here, sir. Winston Santos and Emiliano Teodo pitched in the futures game last year, so we are going to get some arms. And if Emiliano Teodo is ramped up, you might get 104 miles an hour out of that guy. But there's this guy named Sebastian Walcott, who, if you turn your podcast dial back two springs ago, you will hear me say, we were talking about Ethan Salas, and you, JJ, asked me if there's anybody else who impressed me as much as Salas. And I said, yeah, there's this kid named Walcott. And I saw one game of him, and that's all I needed. So he took one cut, and it was like, oh, I've seen this before, and they usually are performing in all-star games. And right now, it looks like he's on a path toward that. We forget how young he is. Like, when I was doing the book last year, because of the way his path has gone, jumped from the DSL to high A and then stayed in high A and has never done the ace, and has never done the low A at all. And then he finished the year in double A. I forgot last year was his first full season as a pro. Like, that was wild to me. He's super young and produced super well and is, you know, 1A with Kumar Rocker in their system. I'm also really high on Yolfran Castillo, who did this thing in the DSL where you swing and you don't ever miss the baseball. He's also got a lot of room on his frame to add muscle. And if he does that and he combines impact with contact, look out. He could be really, really, really good. And then you mentioned the Giants on their side. Let me get their roster here. Bryce Eldridge, he's also very good. I think I saw the best 36 hours, 48 hours of his life in Eugene last year, where he hit something like 5 bombs in 3 days. And it's not like he hit cheapies either. Like, he was hitting them back to my old apartment, which is probably 3 miles down the road. Just on the fly, too. I would also look out for Carson Wisenhunt. We talked about the best fastballs in the game. He might have the best changeup in the spring breakout event. Johnny Level, another guy who starred in the DSL last year, who's high on that list. I'm not giving up on Rainer Arias either. He just needs to stop breaking his wrist, which is good advice for all of us. If he can keep doing that, if he can stop doing that, he'll let his tools shine through. Dakota Jordan, high upside, high risk type guy. Josh Bostic would be maybe my guy to watch last year. He's a big-armed guy who still needs to iron out control, command, and stuff like that, but he's going to bring the heat. Maybe not like Teodo level or Hunter Green or Luis May level, but he'll bring it into the upper 90s for you, and he should be really interesting and will be a guy to watch in the Giants system this year. Am I missing anybody else? Not ranked. We ranked him. Arjenis Kayama, guy in the DSL who popped last year, who dealt with some serious health issues, and then before debuting, and then kind of lit up the league a little bit. So he should be an interesting one to watch both in this game and in the complex league this year. But yeah, those are the guys I'd really watch for in this contest.
Jeff, that takes us to Angels at Cubs, the nightcap on Saturday, 9:05 Eastern, 6:05 in Phoenix. It's doubled it for the Cubs. There are 15 teams in Florida. There are 15 teams in Arizona, which means that two teams have to double up so that we get games for everybody. Cubs are doubling up in Arizona. The Nationals are doubling up in Florida. We've already talked about the Cubs, kind of the same roster largely. But from the Angels side, we are getting Christian Moore in this game. We are getting kind of the young guns in. I would say that Josh Malugo, getting to see him is kind of a key part. But what jumps up in this game for you?
Yeah, I think Christian Moore, of course, you know, as you mentioned, is sort of the big selling point. There's some interesting arms to George Klassen, obviously, that they acquired last year from the Phillies is an interesting one with some great stuff. Ryan Johnson and Chris Cortez, two arms that they drafted. We know how quickly they could potentially move in this organization, especially if they perform pretty well. Both guys I would anticipate will be on that double-A roster at some point this season and, you know, wouldn't rule out a major league debut. Obviously, it's the same for Christian Moore. Some of the interesting young players, like, you know, Joshua Lugo that you mentioned, Nelson Rada is sort of interesting as well. Juan Flores has some fans. You know, it's not the most loaded roster. It's one of the, probably the weaker ones, I'd say, in the event. But not that we should be shocked by that with the Angels. They haven't drafted super well. And then the guys that they have drafted, the good picks they have made it up to the big leagues incredibly quickly. But there's still some talent in this game, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what pitchers pitch in which games for the two double up teams, whether it's the Cubs or the Nationals. Like, does Susana go in the first game or the second? Does Cade Horton go in the first game or the second? I'm assuming the first, but I guess you sort of never know.
I would say add on to this, a couple guys to watch for the Angels, personal cheeseball, Sammy Natera Jr., left-hander, bringing him into the mid-90s with a pretty good slider, who kind of carved up the fall league out of nowhere. That's one of my guys. And then Brady Choban, he was a guy who popped in my 70 names to watch last year in the fall or in the spring training. You could see 100 out of him. I certainly did in Scottsdale last year.
That gets us to Sunday, final day of the spring breakout games. Jeff, I'm coming back to you because this is one that I think you might be at. I would say that this Tigers roster, really interesting. The Braves roster is probably, I would say, in our ranking, it is the least intriguing roster of all 30 rosters. And part of that is no Drake Baldwin, not, you know, no A.J. Smith-Shawver, no Cam Caminiti, none of their – we do get some arms, but I would say if you're going to that game, it's probably going to be more for the Tigers prospects. Fair?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think J.R. Ritchie, get an opportunity to see him. He's been a guy that's popped in like Robo Scout for a couple of years prior to the injury and then after. So, you know, there's some interesting arms here. From a lineup perspective, it's pretty weak, you know, unless you're a big, you know, Johnny Gill fan or Louis Guanipa. Yeah, I don't know. Neither of those are super intriguing. You know, I'll be at this game, and it's going to be because, number one, it's close to where I'm staying. But number two, this is a loaded Tigers lineup. I would argue that this is as talented as any other lineup that's in the spring breakout game. Max Clark, Kevin McGonigal, two prep picks that really exploded last year onto the scene. Bryce Rainier, their first rounder this year. Connor Griffin's kind of gotten all the headlines, and for good reason. He's been super exciting. I think Rainier is still like a very comparable prospect, and, you know, is like neck and neck with him in our rankings throughout the process. Darren Lorenzo, switch hitting, power hitting catcher. One of my favorite takes that I got in AFL, and I know a personal cheese ball of Mr. Norris's. Josue Briseño, he's not going to catch. Maybe he plays some first base or just DHs. He can hit. Howie Lee can hit. Fran Yerber, Mantilla is another one that I'm interested to see. Heard some good reports about him in the complex league last year. He put up some exciting numbers. Another guy that had popped on the model. The pitching is a little bit less exciting. Get Jaden Hamm, you know, who obviously was a spring breakout guy. Or excuse me, a breakout in the spring last year that Josh had written about a little bit. Troy Melton, who, you know, I like. I think the stuff is pretty good. Jake Miller, who I think is kind of underrated. The names don't really jump off the page with the pitching staff here, though. But I do think that when you sort of look at the top of this lineup, like the top, whatever, you know, six or seven hitters, there's some pretty interesting bats in the mix here for the Tigers.
I just wanted to echo the Jake Miller love there. I did sit through one of his fall league starts, and on the surface, it was a train wreck. But when I went to cut up the video, it was like, there's like 12 swings and misses in here, and they're all on wicked sliders. Like, okay, if you mine through the wreckage, you do find some gems that have fallen out of people's pockets.
So then we get to Mets at Nationals. So this is the Nationals double up game, 505. We've already covered the Nationals. But Josh, when you look at this Mets roster, you look at this Mets lineup, I'd say that there are some reasons to be tuning in if you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, I mean, Jet Williams is pretty interesting. I know Carson Benj is one of their higher picks from last year. Ryan Clifford has power to boot. I know, you know, Jonah Tong has been one of those scouts versus analytics divisive type guys. Like, I've never really gotten that kind of report on Jonah Tong as, like, you know, future number one or anything like that. But he'll be a big leaguer of some stripe. Jeremy Rodriguez is a great guy they got from the Diamondbacks a few years ago. Jonathan Santucci, left-hander here at Duke, who dominated pretty well. And but the guy I like on there, and this is just another, saw a couple swings from him, I liked it, is Boston Barrow. I went down to the Florida State League last year and saw what I saw. I didn't really know much about Boston Barrow, except his name was Boston Barrow. And just standing there looking at him, like, okay, he's projectable. His swing is really simple and fluid and stays in the zone for a long time. And if you add some strength onto him, could have something there. And that seems to be the chapter and verse scouting report that Matt has written in our top 30. And it's like, that's what it looks like. I'll take it in a one game look that was, I think we had some rain in that game too. So that would be the guy I'm most excited to watch. I think I wrote him in one of my three articles today. I don't even remember what the headline was because I wrote it at like 1 a.m. But those guys, oh, and another guy who popped based on just some swings I've seen. Edward Lantigua from the DSL last year. I know I wrote like several pieces from the DSL All-Star game last year, and one was just like, hey, these are guys who are kind of interesting to me and maybe me alone. Looks like it's not me alone, but his swing at some point in the game to get a double and a nice play in center field or something, really interesting. The Mets might have something there. And yeah, we've covered the Nationals, but we didn't talk about Travis Sikora, who, if you want a grade 2080 confidence swagger moxie, is he not on the roster?
No, I think he's just there for autographs.
Oh, well, there's a couple games, so I don't know if he's – well, yeah. Either way, he's got swagger and moxie, and if he's signing autographs, they'll shine through too. You can really feel it in his signature.
So if I'm a White Sox fan, the Sunday 5:05 Rockies at White Sox game might be the most interesting game that I could watch all year. I would say that this roster, the White Sox, to their credit, this is a loaded, they didn't hold almost anyone back from this. And I do think, like, if I said, give me a choice of watching a White Sox big league game or watching Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith and Kyle Teal and all these guys, give me the prospects every time. I know you also... there's a lot of intriguing Rockies in this game for you also, Jeff. I think this game is my sleeper game. If you said, okay, we're not going to say it's the best game, the one game you want to watch. I think this one could end up being – we may look back on it and say that may have been the most fun game to watch.
This might be the peak for both fan bases, frankly, whether you're a White Sox or a Rockies fan. They're going to be battling for potentially the worst record in MLB this year between the two of them. Very likely could be the worst in the AL and the worst in the NL. That said, silver lining, there's some pretty good prospects on both sides in this game. Yeah, I think from a pitching standpoint, pound for pound, you get the most exciting group of pitchers in this game. You got Noah Schultz, you got Hagen Smith. On the other side, you got Chase Dolander. Those are all, I mean, two of them are top 10-ish type of prospects. And, you know, Hagen Smith could very well be on the way there, the way he's pitched, you know, in some major league games during the spring. I think, you know, even further down this roster from a pitching perspective, you got Grant Taylor, You got Yario Uriarte, who I've always found to be really intriguing, has some big stuff. Wilkerman Gonzalez, which, you know, on the right day, if he's able to hit the strike zone, he's got some really big stuff as well. You got Brody Brecht.
I was going to interject that the third digit, the triple digits on this will be on the radar gun will be activated.
Yeah, and you'll get that from Brody Brecht, I think, potentially as well. And even some other, you know, interesting arms further down, Jaden Hill, Wellington Herrera, who's a lefty that gets rave reviews from scouts, Zach Agnos, who's a two-way guy at ECU. And I saw actually pitch in the Cape and was like, whoa, you know, banger breaking ball that, you know, he spins the heck out of and, really gets, you know, behind his four seam fastball, gets a lot of ride and has some power on that. But the Rockies lineup too, you know, Charlie Condon. This is sort of I've never seen a draft prospect have his stock fall as quickly that produced as much as he did in college. But I think, you know, this is a bit of a redemption tour, which is kind of crazy to say about your first full professional season, but it kind of feels that way a little bit for Charlie Condon. You know, he's obviously going to have tough sledding in this game with some of those White Sox arms that he's going to have to face, but also, you know, Cole Carrig, Robert Kalas, who has a ton of power, Adel Amador, who had kind of a down season last year, but I think, you know, by the end of the year started to really come along again. He's looking for a bounce back. And I mean, even further down this roster, there's some interesting position prospects, guys like Drew Romo, you know, who in your StatCast article earlier this week, JJ, you called out, you know, the strength of his arm. So he can do some things maybe in the defensive side of the ball. They're exciting. Jared Thomas can hit. Ryan Ritter on both sides of the ball was interesting. We're also going to get to see Jordy Vargas for the first time since TJS. So that'll be an interesting take. Yeah, I think, you know, both of these rosters are definitely really interesting. The top end of the White Sox roster is just about as good as anybody. You know, really the top, I'd say 10 or 11 here, I'd love to see. The back end is where, you know, I think the Rockies have some interesting players that could come in, some lesser known relief types and pitchers, guys that have been injured that we'd forgotten about a little bit, who have some upside. So yeah, I think, you know, calling this sort of the sleeper game, JJ, is spot on.
And then we end up with, well, I'll take this one. We already kind of really covered it. Reds at Brewers, 7:40 Eastern, 4:40. I'm actually just sitting there thinking about it. Okay, how many innings could I get at the White Sox-Rockies game and still get there in time for the start of Reds at Brewers? So, you know, like, okay, it's a Sunday. Traffic shouldn't be as bad. These are the kind of the fun calculations we get to do during spring training. How can I see as much baseball as I can see? Josh is going to win our award on this one. We know that because Josh is going to Florida and Arizona, but we're all going to try to see a ton of baseball.
I'm going to win the most baseball award, but probably the least spring breakout award. Cause
yes,
again, Jesus Cano is not on this podcast, but he's going to see a bunch. And if I were doing your calculation, JJ, I'd be going, okay, how can I get from this game and get some grill and then walk into Rocky?
But that Reds Brewers game, we mentioned a lot of the names. Again, it's going to have some really good pitching prospects. The thing I will highlight just a little bit on that Red side, we mentioned them, but Tyson Lewis, Sammy Stafura, they have a couple of really kind of interesting non-traditional, non-hotbed area shortstops, right? Colder weather, high school shortstops. Both are really intriguing. Lewis, I'm looking forward to getting a chance to kind of see him. See what, you know, there's athleticism, highest drafted Nebraska high school position prospect, a position player ever, which is not a long list, let's be honest, to battle. But as we said, there's also going to be a ton of velo in that game. And Alfredo Duno making his second spring breakout game appearance, even though, you know, he's had injuries and didn't play a ton already, you know, hasn't played a ton as a pro. But he was on that game. And the thing I remember, this is one of the things I kind of wanted to kind of put a bow on this. This is, as we get ready all to head to spring training, to head to the backfields, the fascinating part about this is I remember one of my takeaways from last year was seeing Duno and going, wow, this dude is the youngest guy here, and physically he stands out in comparison to most everyone else. But the part of what we look forward to and what we look forward to bringing to you, our Baseball America readers and viewers and listeners, is this is the part of the year where there is so much to be discovered. And I'll kind of start with you, Josh, like, because that's where we're, like, when you said you're not going to go to any spring breakout games, part of that is that it's like, okay, yes, those are the ones who have been discovered. I want to go find the players who are the next one, the guys who are going to be on that next year's breakout roster. Just tell me a little bit about the joy of the backfields for you in spring training.
I mean, you kind of summed it up. It's the unknown. It's seeing a guy who you maybe never heard of or not heard of much. It's really hard to never hear of a guy here, but and him doing something in front of you that goes, okay, all the alarm bells are ringing up, the slot machine is coming up, all cherries. This is somebody that's way under the radar right now and is not going to be for very long. That's my favorite part of the job, bar none. I've said it before. I think it comes from whatever gene passed for me from my father. He's the stockbroker, and I think there's a through line there of finding the undiscovered next Apple or whatever. But that's why I do this 70 backfield guys. Like, they're not all unknowns. I mean, I put Paul Skeens in there last year, but finding the guys, like, I hadn't heard a whole heck of a lot about Franklin Arias last year, but he's up there. Jaden Hamm and Logan Evans were the twin towers of Florida and Arizona last year. And I'm looking forward to finding out who they are this year. Like, that's why I don't go to a lot of these spring breakout games, because they've already broken out in a way. It's kind of a misnomer.
But Jeff, what are you like, what is it that's so enjoyable to you about spring training?
Yeah, I think number one, it's just being able to get a lot of looks in a short period of time. You know, obviously the backfields is the biggest part of that. You know, I like it better when there's two games going on at a time and not four. It's a little much when there's four and there's so many players you want to see. You can kind of get, you know, you're moving around in a circle sometimes nonstop for for 3 hours. But I think it's just the ability to sort of plan out and be like, all right, today I'm going to see all these guys. I know these pitchers are going. As Josh said, obviously the unknown part of it, of seeing somebody come in and has a really unique pitch, or just an overall like powerful arsenal, or, you know, a hitter, like, I think it was like, you know, once again, not seeing somebody that we didn't know who they were, but like seeing Starlin Cava, you know, having had some conversations in FCL the previous year and in some backfield stuff with scouts about, hey, you know, check this guy out when he comes stateside, and sort of just seeing the glove in the field and how exciting he was. And just seeing like prospects that, you know, you've written about, maybe watched some video on, had discussions about, that you haven't seen in the flesh for the first time. That's always a lot of fun. And I think just cramming the schedule with games, going to the backfield, going to these spring breakout games, taking in some major league games as well, if there's an interesting pitcher going, or, you know, a couple of years ago, it was like Jordan Walker was still in major league games when I was out there. So I went out and, you know, watched a few extra at bats of Jordan Walker against major league pitchers in a major league stadium. So I think just all of it, it's probably my favorite time on the calendar, just in terms of being able to cram in a whole lot of baseball, see a lot of interesting stuff that other people aren't seeing, and be able to bring video and notes and information to the public. I mean, this time last year, I wasn't, you know, in Red Sox camp enough to see him, but was hearing a ton of positive reports about Christian Campbell, to the point that we wondered if the Red Sox were kind of maybe blowing a lot of smoke into the public area. But obviously we sit here a year later and go, no, they were absolutely right. They might've known what they had. So I think that's all part of it. And I know that's why one of my favorite articles that we do every year, I don't write it, but, you know, Josh is, you know, top names from spring training, because there's just so much great information that kind of sets the course of the season in front of us.
I mean, and that's what I would say is that it's not 100% hit rate, but the thing that does jump out is players now get so much better often in the off season, where spring training is that first chance to see, oh, this player was this last year, look at what he is now. And sometimes with a pitcher is that they fix something. Sometimes the hitter is like, oh, they just got more physical. You know, they're, wow, look at their physicality this year. Well, oh, they've adjusted their swing. There's just so much. And it really does jump out on the backfields a lot of times. And, you know, again, it doesn't take that many weeks, that many games before you kind of know. Spring breakouts are going to be a blast. We're going to be at them. We'll be covering them all at baseballamerica.com. Check it out right now. A ton of Baseball America. Yes, Josh.
I have two examples here. One, last year we didn't get Demetrio Crisantes in the breakouts because I had one scout who told me, like, I've seen a guy who is not going to make your list because I'm not going to tell you about him. You'll find out about him later when we determine whether or not we can or can't trade for him. And that was Crisantes. He's pretty darn good. And fast forward to this year, there was a guy I saw in the DSL last year named Fermin Magallanes with the Orioles. He's 22 years old in the DSL. Not a great start, but it was his first year in the DSL. And as you know, we've said a thousand times, they don't check IDs on the mound. But he's a big boy. He throws, if I remember correctly, 95 to 98 with a banger slider. And that's got guy I'm going to be asking whoever's covering that particular pod about. Like, hey, is this guy here? Is he looking – when he syncs it up, that looks like a weapon in the big leagues. That's just to my untrained eye. But it's a guy I'll be asking about. He might be nothing. He might be everything. Might be somewhere in between. Who knows? But that's the kind of guy I'm looking for. And that's the kind of, like, is this a diamond or is this a cubic zirconia sort of thing I'm trying to figure out the next month or so.
There'll be all that. Check it out. BaseballAmerica.com for our subscribers. So much. We will be inundating you with all the insights that will keep you ahead of everyone else. For Josh, for Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.